Peak Wealth Management proudly presents Finding True Wealth with Nick Hopwood, where we believe by providing education and guidance, we help our clients make sound financial decisions, which ultimately puts them on a path towards their definition of true wealth. Now, here is your certified financial planner professional and founder of Peak Wealth Management, Nick Hopwood.
Welcome. Welcome, everyone, to episode 32 of Finding True Wealth. Today's topic is Social Security, the decision of a lifetime. Social Security is much more than just a monthly check. Do you realize that it could be worth well over $1 million? A $1,500 a month Social Security payment with a 1.5% inflation rate would add up to over $675,000 in 30 years. If your check is worth $2,000 a month, the 30-year total after inflation is over $900,000. And if your check is $2,500 a month, after 30 years, after inflation, it would be worth $1.1 million. And that's just one person. Oftentimes, we're collecting two Social Security checks for each household. It's a pension with a cost of living adjustment, which pretty much does not exist anywhere else. It's a pension for a homemaker who never worked, which you pretty much can't get anywhere else. You can control when you turn it on to maximize your benefits. It provides benefits for your spouse if you pass away, and it provides benefits for your children if you pass away when they are under age 18. It provides disability benefits if you can't work. Simply put, it is amazing. And all these benefits, yes, they're truly amazing, but there is one big catch. And that is that these great benefits are why the system is broken and massively underfunded. The most common question that I get from people when talking about Social Security is, when should I begin collecting my benefits? Oftentimes, people also ask, and this is mainly from younger folks, will Social Security actually be there for me? And finally, will I be there for Social Security? Which means, if I die young, what will happen to my benefits? So we're going to tackle all these questions in this episode. So when can you turn on your benefit? Age 62 is the earliest, and for young folks, age 67 is the normal retirement age, and age 70 is the latest you should turn on your benefits. It's the latest you can delay increasing your benefits, that is. You can really turn them on any time between age 62 and 70, but you should be aware that you'll receive much less at 62 compared to age 70. So what is this normal retirement age? For those born before 1954, the normal retirement age is age 66. But for those born after 1960, the normal retirement age is 67. So for someone like me who was born in 1979, I fall into that latter camp. I can take benefits at age 62, but it would be a 25% reduced rate. I can wait till age 67 and get the full amount. But I could also wait until I'm age 70 and get even more. And let's go through an example. So someone who's older, age 66 today, you know, they would be receiving, let's say, $1,000 a month at their normal retirement age. They could have taken the benefits at 62, but they would have had that 25% haircut, and they would have only collected $750 a month. So you're rewarded for each year you wait. So if 62, you have a 25% haircut. At 63, it's only a 20% haircut, and so on. So if you are still at 66 for your normal retirement age, and then you wait till 67, you actually collect an extra 8%. So instead of $1,000 a month, it would be $1,080 per month. And that is a permanent increase for the rest of your life and your spouse's life. You can delay until age 70, at which point there's no further incentive to wait. So if you are 70 right now, please file for Social Security immediately if you have not. And using the same example, if you waited that long, you would get a 32% increase more than if you would have taken it at your normal retirement age. So that's an extra $320 a month above and beyond your base benefit of $1,000 a month. People are always asking when they should turn on their benefit, and first, fully disclosed everything here, the answer is it depends on your situation. But I am in favor of waiting as long as possible to maximize your benefits. But at the same time, I realized that for most people, they're going to turn it on before age 70 because they're simply going to need the money. And if you have other income sources, you should at least evaluate waiting and allowing your Social Security benefit to roll up. You know, do you have real estate income or do you have portfolio income that could generate revenue for you for a few years to allow Social Security to be worth more? And by the way, it increases at an 8% guaranteed rate, and it's a permanent increase for the rest of your life. So will it be there for you? Most young people, they do not count on Social Security to be there for them. However, when I build financial plans for these folks, I don't just ignore Social Security. I use a 75% assumption. So if their benefit's $1,000 a month, I put in the benefit as $750 a month. And here's why. In the 2017 annual report of the Board of Trustees of Social Security, they report that full benefits are available to be paid until 2034. At that point, just 77% of the benefits payable are funded. So I feel pretty good about using that 75% as a conservative expectation, because many people speculate that legislation will change between now and 2034. I think that probably it will, but who really knows? But here's what's been talked about. You know, some proposed solutions to extend the solvency of the program. They are changing the way inflation is calculated to something that's more slowly growing than the CPI. They could increase the normal retirement age beyond age 67 to an older age. So, for instance, someone like me, maybe the new retirement age is like 69 instead of 67. They can increase the income base above $128,400, which is where it is in 2018. Meaning, if you are earning $128,000, every single dollar of that is getting taxed at the FICA Social Security tax. But if you make, say, $200,000, the other $72,000 is not getting taxed for Social Security. So they can increase that income base to collect more tax. They can also increase the percentage of FICA taxes. And right now, everyone pays their FICA tax, and then the employer pays an amount equal to that. So they could raise that and generate more revenue to fund the Social Security benefits. So they could do a little bit, they could change a little bit of each one of these and make a big difference. I was at the LPL conference circa 2009, 2010, and President Bush Jr., he said that his favorite way was to change the inflation rate on how the benefits are calculated. So changing the cost of living adjustment would be his favorite way to go to solve the Social Security deficits. Of course, this was after his private accounts legislation failed back in 05, 06. Regardless, I like to do extremely conservative planning, and as a result, I use that 75% figure for people who are under age 50. And the reason I use age 50 is because when Bush was putting out these private account solutions, he was saying that it would be for anyone under age 50, and anyone over age 50 would be grandfathered. So I think that, you know, any new legislation might kind of follow that sort of lead. Will you be there for Social Security? Meaning, will you live long enough to take advantage of the benefits? Now, if you're 65 years old and you're a male, you have a 50% chance of living to age 86 and a 25% chance of living to age 93. For females, those same probabilities would extend to age 89 and 95, respectively. And this is according to the Society of Actuaries from their 2015 report. What this means is for married couples, there's a 50% chance that one spouse will reach age 93. So yeah, I think most of us who are old enough to file for benefits will be collecting benefits for a long time. And that further supports my discussion earlier on trying to delay benefits for a larger amount. There's also spousal benefits. So let's say that my spouse did not work and she stayed home raising the kids. Let's also assume that my amount at age 66 would be $2,000 a month. My spouse, she can take her own Social Security, or she can take half of my Social Security. And since my wife is a homemaker, she would, and she's earning zero, she is not eligible for her own benefit. So then she could take half of my benefit, which is worth $1,000 a month. That means a couple, in this example, would have a total of $3,000 per month, $2,000 from me and $1,000 for her. It's a pretty sweet deal, since in my example, the spouse never paid a dime into the system, but she gets a lifetime pension. And then if I die early, if I die sooner than her, she will actually step up to my $2,000 a month benefit and lose her own $1,000. So again, between the two of us, we get $3,000. After I'm gone, it drops down to $2,000. So these are pretty nice benefits. And again, it's part of the reason why the program is insolvent here. Now, we also have surviving spouse benefits. So let's continue with that same example. But let's say I die at 55. Under the widow or widower benefit, she would be able to collect my benefits at age 60, which is 2 years earlier than the normal rules. One other neat planning strategy is that the surviving spouse can collect the widow's benefit at age 60 and not take her own benefit. And since she is delaying her own benefit, allowing it to roll up and be worth more and more each year, she could delay all the way to age 70 and take 132% of the normal retirement amount. And she gets a raise by switching from the deceased spouse's Social Security to her own. Of course, this means that she would have to have a job throughout her working career other than a homemaker, because as a homemaker, you would not have your own earnings record. We also have surviving children's benefits. So today, I have three children under the age of 18. So all three kids would be eligible to receive an amount that would be just a little bit more than my age 62 amount. But there is a family maximum. So with three kids, you'd be over the limit. And that limit is printed on your Social Security statement, which can be found on ssa.gov. By the way, you must sign up for your account on ssa.gov. Super simple, and you can always access your age 62, age 67, age 70, or any of these amounts at any time. Now, how about if you're divorced? Divorced people are eligible for the benefits of the ex-spouse. They must have been married for 10 years, and the roll-up does not extend beyond age 65 like in a traditional case. This means that you cannot let it keep rolling up to age 70. Now, how about for disability? If you are a disabled individual, you may file for Social Security disability if you're not expected to be able to work for the next 12 months or for the rest of your life. And the amount that you can receive is larger than your age 62 amount, and it's permanent. So I was just looking at my statement, and my Social Security disability amount is actually 41% larger than my amount at age 62, but it's not quite as much as my normal retirement age amount at age 67. What's nice here is that you get your larger payment up until age 65, which is the age of when traditional long-term disability would stop. So if you have your own LTD policy, it's going to stop payment at age 65. Okay, but Social Security disability, it continues for the rest of your life. So the point I'm trying to make is when you turn 65, it's not like they take you off of disability and put you on retirement. You get to keep that larger amount for the duration. And if you die, then your spouse will be able to keep that higher amount as well. So essentially, the disability income becomes ultimately a higher retirement income than you would have received in retirement. And a story that I just saw, I have a guy who is, let's see, 64. He's planning on retiring anyway, but he filed for Social Security disability and got approved and, you know, receives the larger amount than he would have if he was just normal retirement. And so it's just, larger amount that he gets for the duration. So it is hard to get approved for most people, though, so you should always consult an attorney who can specialize in this sort of situation. And let's talk about taxation on Social Security, because this is also a unique thing. And full disclosure, I do not provide legal, tax, or accounting advice. But let's talk about taxation anyway. In retirement, we can have many different types of taxation, such as fully taxed pensions or IRA withdrawals. We can have tax-free income, such as a Roth IRA withdrawal, or income from municipal bonds, or loans against life insurance policies. And then we have Social Security, which for most people is going to wind up being partially taxed at some rate. So we look at your provisional income. If your provisional income is less than $32,000 for a couple, that means that all of your benefits from Social Security will be tax-free. Now, if you're married and your provisional income is between $32,000 and $44,000, you're going to pay tax on 50% of your benefits. This means that half of your Social Security income is completely tax-free, and then the other half of it is taxed at your normal ordinary rate. And for those of you who are married with provisional income over $44,000, you're going to pay your normal income taxes on 85% of your Social Security benefits. So a little bit of a freebie there with 15% coming back tax-free. Now, what about taking your Social Security early and being penalized? So if you work in retirement, the timing of your election to begin Social Security is critical. If you are under your normal retirement age, such as age 62, and you earn more than $17,040, which is the amount for 2018, you're going to pay a huge penalty. Every dollar that you make above $17,040, you're going to pay a dollar penalty for every $2 of earnings above the limit. So ultimately, if your Social Security is $1,000 a month and you earn $25,000 working, you are $7,960 above the earnings limit. So you would have to repay $3,980 of your Social Security. This is a terrible idea. In this type of situation, I think you're better off waiting to elect your Social Security, or better off telling your boss to schedule for less hours so you don't pass that $17,000 threshold. So in the year that you reach your normal retirement age, meaning, in my case, if I'm turning 67 this year, the calculation changes to an earnings limit of $45,360 for the year. And then beyond the month I turn 67, there is no earnings limit. So I see a lot of people who are beyond their normal retirement age. They're working, making good money, and collecting their Social Security. But keep in mind, they could also continue to delay their Social Security benefits and not take it until age 70. So we have some age milestones that I want to talk about here, starting at age 50. At age 50, you can do your catch-up contributions to your 401 or your IRA. That's really important. I think that I see a lot of people taking advantage of that, but oftentimes it goes overlooked. At age 59 and a half, we have our IRA withdrawals with no penalty. At age 62, you can start your Social Security at a reduced amount. At age 65, you can collect your Medicare benefits. Depending on when you were born, at age 66 or 67, you have your normal retirement age, which is your traditional Social Security amount. Also, you can work and collect Social Security with no penalty. At age 70, you have no further benefits. There's no further reward for waiting to collect Social Security. And finally, at age 70 and a half, you have your required minimum distribution from your 401 or IRA. So when should we start thinking about Social Security planning? My answer here is, I think we'll start having a lot more visibility in the late 50s. So if you want to try and maximize benefits, we're going to have to try and put together a plan to delay your election, meaning delay past age 62. It means that we're going to have to find income from other sources, such as portfolio dividends, IRA withdrawals, real estate, rental income, part-time work. But I think that in many cases, it can be worth it. But again, every case is different. And if you have a portfolio of over $500,000 or an income over $250,000, and you're trying to consider when to retire and how Social Security fits into your plans, reach out to me for a second opinion. You can apply for an appointment on peakwm.com, or you can email me directly, nick@peakwm.com.
You've been listening to the Peak Financial Minute with Nick Hopwood. You can subscribe to this podcast through iTunes and the Android Marketplace or by visiting www.peakwm.com. Peak Wealth Management is your premier wealth management partner. Plan, protect, peak. Securities offered through Regulus Advisors, LLC. Member FINRA SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Peak Wealth Management, LLC, a state of Michigan registered investment advisor. Peak Wealth Management, LLC is independent of Regulus Advisors.